The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
You can still be bothered by police brutality and a systematic failure to black people in this country and still feel bad that an officer gets shot. What? You can also hold police in a high regard and still want them to be held to high standards and expectations.
You know, my first thought was last night, I'm done with this country. I don't need to be here. And I felt bad about that because I'm a freaking American, okay? I love this country, but I hate what we are right now. We have cops shooting people because of their color of their skin. We have people retaliating. We have two buffoons running for office, so we have no choice in who we're going to get because we're either going to get a liar or a friggin' buffoon, and you can pick which one is which. I don't care because our political system is so screwed up, and they don't do anything for us. I mean, this is supposed to be a government for the people, is it not?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, at True Mike P also, right?
Radio Mike P now.
No, your Radio Mike P. Why'd you change it? Jeez, you guys keep changing your damn Twitter.
You know why?
It's hard to brand yourself.
Because of the racism, when I said true, they thought it was just T-R-U.
Oh, okay.
And it's T-R-U-E.
You should have just switched it to T-R-U.
So, yeah,
all right,
just,
so know. now you're Radio Mike P.
Radio Mike P.
All right, guys, we got a full board. We're going to get to all this. And I have to do one thing first before we get back to this. We had an incident at the poker tournament last night, and one of the people running the tournament for us got into a brawl with a very drunk, belligerent person and got out of line to the point where there were arrests made. And I have to say, it was crazy. And if you were there, it was kind of funny. But I have to tell you, on behalf of Gal Media, I apologize to anybody who was playing. I want to apologize to Dave and Buster's. They were very cool about it. There were kids there. There were family members there. It was an ugly situation that really had no reason to happen. All they had to do was go and get security, and it would have been taken care of. But instead, it turned into a mess. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and blame anybody and say who was wrong about it, but people running the tournament for us mishandled it in a very bad way. And I apologize to anybody who was there. That's not how we do business. That's not how the next couple tournaments are going to go. And, you know, on behalf of Gal Media, on behalf of myself, I apologize for that whole situation. It was ugly. It was inappropriate. And honestly, I'm going to go on record as saying that if that person is involved in any future tournaments, I will not participate. And I will have nothing to do with it because just like the guy who caused the trouble, she was very out of line. It was ugly. And I don't associate with those kind of people.
All right,
let's get back to this.
We got a bunch of calls. Let's get to Brandon's been hanging on the longest. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just wanting to comment in terms of the excessive use of force. That's how I see the issue going down. Like a caller earlier said, I really feel like rules of engagement ought to be raised. I think that police officers should be in the business of a returning fire and not being the first to shoot. And yes, I know that that makes it a little more risky for them, but I feel like that's what they wear the badge for. That's the risk they're signing up for. And no one seems to really get that. I can't convince my family of that. I can't convince my friends of that. And that's the thing that I see is really just an overreach. If you don't immediately comply, And you know, they're going to shoot you, and they're going to argue later, oh, I feared for my safety.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be enough anymore.
I agree. And people tweeting me about the arrest record of the guy who got shot in Baton Rouge. Let me tell you, that's another part of the problem. A guy gets shot,
right?
And the first thing we do is go run and look up his arrest record. That kid at Stanford went and raped some chicks, and in the news report, y'all are posting his swim times.
Right.
You know, we got to stop every time a black man gets killed.
Well,
running to the internet and trying to find his police record. Let's talk about this incident.
And not only that, the police record doesn't matter. What matters is, you know, for this person to be murdered,
right?
They have to be a murderer, right? And then they have to go to trial for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you steal CDs or you steal car batteries or whatever. You don't deserve to be shot for it.
Right.
Let's forget about that, man.
All right. Let's get to Richard.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Doing all right. What's up, Richard?
Thanks, man.
Hey, I just have a different kind of perspective on it. You go back a few years, you have the guy that was killed in New York when he had a medical condition and he couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And then you have the two recent videotape or, you know, cell phone videos of the clear murders that took place. The police officer's creed or motto is to protect and serve, and especially in the one in Minnesota, he held his position, and the video is 5 minutes long. He held his position. At what time does he stop and administer first aid? There was other officers on the scene to where they could have taken control of the situation and let him administer first aid to try to save this guy's life. Or, you know, he could have let them come in while he held position if he thought he was still in danger at that point and let them administer first aid. Just a thought. I'll hang on.
No, that's a good thought. And right. That's what I was saying. Like, if I was the guy's girlfriend, I would have wanted to, if I was the guy's girlfriend, that'd be super weird.
Hey, you've been a few guys' girlfriends.
I would have wanted to administer first aid. If I'm the cop at that point, especially, and that cop was scared. There's no doubt. That cop was terrified.
Right.
He was,
and that's
he was
really
in the moment. He was overwhelmed,
and most of that's his fault.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you make a mistake like that, I understand being overwhelmed. At that point, you're terrified, but you got to do what you can to save this guy's life because you have to understand at that point. You put four bullets in this guy. If he dies, that's the worst possible situation for you. I would do everything I could to keep that guy alive at that point.
And tell me the difference, AJ, because you've been in the military. And from what I've seen and what I've heard former soldiers talk, tell me, and being overseas and being in a war and things like that in battle, there's certain things that you just can't do. Or the American government will punish you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems like they have it a lot.
You can't shoot first.
Yeah. That's my point. They have it together a lot more overseas and in bigger battles and in situations that are a lot tougher than officers do in America, in the States.
Can I say, though, that part of, and I don't know if this is a problem in any of these cases, but I think you've got a lot of former military coming back that are now going in, becoming police officers.
Please talk about it. You're right.
And honestly, it's not the same thing. And these are guys that were in really awful, awful situations. And again, I go back to how our government has treated our veterans coming back by not giving them the treatment they need mentally for the crap they had to deal with over there. And then we're going to throw them into dealing with the public. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's the best thing. And it's, unfortunately, it's way too common right now. Let's get some more calls.
Let's go to Troy.
Yes. First time calling in. Just wanted to make two quick comments. First off, I grew up in the inner city. You can Google my city, Camden, New Jersey. When I grew up, it was considered the most dangerous city in America for a couple years running. And one of the things that my grandmother always told me growing up is you get a good education, you keep your nose clean, and you'll be fine. You don't have to worry about that. But now that things have changed, you know, in the world, I feel like that's not even enough anymore as an African American. And, you know, I just wanted to share two scenarios that happened to me. I got pulled over one time, just getting out of college. I was rushing to get to an interview. I had my varsity football jacket on from college. Cop pulled me over and said, you went there? What sport did you play? I told him I played football. He said, my girlfriend goes there. you know, gave me a warning, said, hey, slow down. I was going, you know, maybe 10 miles over the speed limit. Said, slow down, have a good day. Good luck on it, on your interview. Another scenario, I was coming back from an alumni function. I was speeding again. Cop pulled me over. You know, I pulled over. I even took the initiative to have my driver license out in my hand before the cop even got to the car, put my hands on the steering wheel because I just grew up. That's what you did. Cop came to the car, and he asked for my driver license, and then he put his hand on his gun, and he said, get out the car. And I said, well, what are you pulling me over for? He said, just get out the car right now. And I just kind of felt like, you know, wow, I didn't even get the courtesy of being told what I was being pulled over for or anything. And I just kind of ended with saying, you know, I really feel like I have two young boys. I feel like the only way that they're going to be protected is if they become athletes. I think that is the only shield for a black male to be an athlete out here, because outside of that, I don't feel most cops, and not all of them, but a lot of them don't think you're worth it. And they won't think twice. But, you know, shooting you if they feel like they're threatened.
Or be a cop.
Actually, this isn't going to be very popular, but I hate to say this, because you were entitled as a football player once. If the guy tells you to get out of the car the second time, get your ass out of the car.
But why, Fred? He would never tell me to get out of the car.
No, I've been told to get out of the car. I have. I don't question it. That's okay. I got treated this way because I was an athlete, and then I got treated this way, so I'm pissed off. Cop tells you, get out of the car, get out of the car. You don't have, if he shoots you then, oh well. But, you know, I'm sorry, but that second story is just kind of BS. No offense, Troy. I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to all of you, I promise. Yeah.
Hey, John, let's put a temporary cap on taking any new calls so we can get to the ones that are on the board.
There's so many good ones up there. We want to get to you guys.
And then more time later, because I don't have someone get on hold now, and then at the end of the show we don't have time.
Yeah, look, we're blowing off everything that we usually do. We'll get to every call up until 7 o'clock. Quick break.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Also, Michael Pearson joining us. One of our favorite people, by the way. We don't get him on air enough.
Thank you.
You know, usually in Vegas. All right, listen, let's blast through as many calls as we can.
All right, let's, John, are they listening to me about not taking any new calls? They're still putting new calls on the board.
No. I X'd out the when you said no more new calls, she was already putting his name up.
We're going to get everybody on we can.
Let's go to Deacon first. What's up, Deacon?
Guys, man, good show.
Thanks.
I don't call in much, so I'll try and make it quick. Fred, you've been talking about a paradigm shift and touching on the government, so... Look, we live in a time where people are no longer capable of understanding or perceiving anyone else's point of view. Not only that, anyone who does not share their point of view is an enemy and a threat to their way of life. And Republicans and Democrats can no longer, and I say this because I know this is about this race thing and these shooting things, but this is about division. This is about a division that has been created by Washington, D.C., and by our politicians who go up there and they fight with each other publicly on open forums, professional, grown people, filibuster on Senate floors, throw sleepovers, and literally every couple of years shut down the government, okay? If you look, candidates for political office used to attack each other, their opponents, politically and personally. Now, Democrats attack all Republicans. Republicans attack all Democrats. And it has trickled down to the voters to where these politicians are telling us the people who are on the opposite side of the political aisle want to destroy your way of life and wipe you out of existence. And we have turned on each other while these guys have sat up there and voted themselves into lifelong careers, pay raises anytime they want, and they put forth the candidates for us to choose from who go to all the same country clubs as them and eat in all the same restaurants and run in all the same circles.
And you know what? And Deacon texts a lot. Deacon is one of the good texters. He's 100% right. But, you know, the problem is we just eat it up. We don't fight it. And we what we need here is a bigger change. I mean, it has to start with individuals, right? Yep. It has to start with us. But we need a bigger change of that. Our government is bleeped, okay? We really need to change the whole thing and start getting people in who actually care. Local governments, guess what? Our local governments, these are people who actually care about our community. And, yes, I'm still pissed at Mayor Turner for not coming on our show. And I'm going to call him out yet again. But you know what? He cares about the community. Our city council cares about our community. We need that on the national level. We really do, but that's another topic for another time, and it may never happen with me because I'll be honest with you, when I get up to Canada, I may not come back. Honestly, let's grab some more calls.
Let's talk to Frank.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
We're doing all right, man. What's up?
I got three topics to talk about real quick. My brother, he used to be a Capitol Police in Washington, D.C., and it was sad because he would have to say, I would rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I never really understood him because I was young. But it's in the world we live in now because that's the way not just him, his whole unit was living by. Now he's not in anymore because he didn't agree with that. He's a Houston firefighter now. But I had this conversation with my wife last night to jump on the other topic. She told me, I don't know if it was Michael who said it, but he said if it was her in that situation or me who got shot, and she said she wouldn't have took her hands off that steering wheel. And I told her, don't take her hands off that steering wheel because you guys do know it was a 4-year-old daughter that was there.
That's
too.
True.
So yeah. Now if she was to help him, now the police officer has the right to say he thought she was going for the gun. Now both of them are dead, and it's a 4-year-old girl who has no mother or father to live on with now.
Very good point.
Good point, brother.
Yeah.
Let's get to Daniel. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, guys. Really appreciate y'all talking about this today. That's something I don't think people do enough. But real quick, I would never describe myself as a racist or anything like that, but I've always been, you know, preferential to walking up to a group of people that are similar to me, you know. But before, I had a little event happen while I was playing basketball, and I'm the only white guy out there, and, you know, I'm a tall, clean-cut, you know, white guy, so I get thick because I'm tall. But in between the games, you know, we got into a conversation, and it wasn't about this in particular, but just lifestyles and stuff like that. And I learned more in that conversation on a real face-to-face level. You know, I won't get into exactly what we were talking about, but the point is that we were talking, you know, like y'all are doing now, and bringing it up, bringing it to the forefront. And because when you hear all these things on a national level, it really, it's so impersonal, you know. But I don't know if that's the answer, but maybe it's a place to start, because my whole perspective changed after I talked face to face and heard, you know, what they were talking about. And I gave my point of view, and it wasn't a bad conversation at all. It was just, we were talking and we figured each other out a little bit. And that's something that maybe we need to do more. Maybe we need to have gatherings where we talk about stuff and not, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer or anything, but I really appreciate the fact that y'all are talking about it.
Well,
and we need to do that on a smaller scale, so it's not as impersonal about somebody in Minnesota or California, or, you know, get face to face and like understand each other.
That's where we start, man.
I wish that could happen, though.
No, but
the reality is, a lot of people are. And I don't know if this comes from how you're raised. I don't know what it is. But the reality is, a lot of black people are scared of white people.
Yeah.
A lot of white people are scared of black people.
Dude,
that's not the way it should be.
Listen, let me. I'll give you an honest story. when we were at Live Sports Bar a few weeks ago with a bunch of our friends, and we're walking to another place to get drinks, and a few of our group saw some black guys on the same side of the street, and they automatically crossed the street. And I'm kind of like, what are you doing? And I accosted them for it later, and they're kind of like, oh, no, we were just crossing because the light was. Like, no, you weren't. You were, and it's like, so I get it, but it's like he said, man, it comes down to us having conversations, which is why we're doing this today, because this is what this show's about. And I mean, we're going to talk back and forth, whether you agree with us or not. We're going to have this conversation because it's important. That's why we have Michael here. That's why we're doing it. And
the only way we grow is if we get out of our comfort zone.
Because we have these conversations the three of us have had these conversations many times off air, right? Mm-hmm. Hanging out in Vegas.
Yep.
We got to get everybody to have these conversations. It's not having them.
And it's in the wild, it's like we act like we're like the black people are bears and white people are lions, and we've got to be wary of each other because lions don't walk past other lions and be afraid. Bears don't walk past other bears and be afraid. We just need to realize we're all people. Yeah, at the end of the day, we're all just humans.
I kind of think bears and lions would get along if they actually hung out and then talked and drank,
maybe,
right?
Maybe so. But the reality is we're not bears and lions. We're all the same thing. We're all people.
All right, so we're going to get some more calls on when we come back. And you know what? I think we're just blowing off everything except talking to you guys today.
Yeah.
It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we've been doing this all day. I know it's turned off a lot of people. That's okay. I think a lot of people understand what we're doing here, and hopefully you do. Let's bang through these last few calls. Terry, you're on the Blitz. What's up, Terry?
How y'all doing?
We're all right, man. What's happening?
I'm glad y'all doing the show today. I'm a long-time listener, and I love what y'all doing to keep doing what y'all doing.
Thank you, man.
To bleep with haters. That's something I wanted to say, man. Last week, there had an incident happen out here in Port Arthur at a gas station. They had a guy doing a beer run. He stole some beer running out the store. Off-duty officer, off-duty security guard, seeing the guy running, he shoots the car up and claimed that he was trying to disable the vehicle. Come to find out, it was the lady that was inside of the car, and the cop wound up shooting the woman and killing her. This stuff happens every day around here, but that didn't make national news. I was just trying to see if y'all heard anything about it.
I didn't hear it. This is the first I've heard of it.
Right.
Yeah, this happened about a week ago out in Port Arthur. I'm from Beaumont. And the lady was from Beaumont, but come to find out, the guy was an off-duty security guard. He wasn't even a cop. And
he shot somebody?
He was shooting. The guy was running out the store with some beer. He stole some beer and was out the store. The dude seen the car that he got in and started firing at the car, claiming that he was trying to disable the vehicle. He shot the car up. And the guy rolled off, and come to find out, there was a lady sitting inside of the vehicle, and he shot the woman and killed her.
Unbelievable. Off-duty security guard?
Over some beer.
Get out of it. That dude should be in prison. Prison, bro.
Well,
over $10.
Man, that's the issue.
That ain't even his $10.
Right.
Listen, just because you have a uniform should not mean you can't be prosecuted. That's the problem, is these guys haven't been punished for this stuff. Too many of them gotten away with it. Well, that's why people are frustrated.
That's what I say. If one cop who does one of these killings got the book thrown at him, mm-hmm. and got thrown in gin pop,
right?
Every cop would be a little more careful about when mm-hmm. they use their gun.
Right.
Right.
But when you allow the South Carolina cop that clearly murdered this man to be out on bail and spend a year with his family before he goes to trial.
And that's what I'm saying, because if it was the other way and a black man had killed a white cop, He wouldn't be out on bail right now.
No way. He's a threat to society.
This is what I'm trying to get to, man. This is something that we can't. That's not going to change unless our government changes, unless the people making these decisions change, unless we rise up and let them know that we've had enough of their BS.
Right.
And it's not just that we're going to vote them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to change our system, man.
I will say that to our listeners too. Check out the Carmelo Anthony's tweet.
Actually, Carmelo's comments were perfect. Yep. I have to say, I've been critical of him for a lot of stuff. His comments were perfect.
Because what he was saying, we have to hold our officials accountable.
We have to change the system. The system is the problem. And too many of us just, and I'm guilty too. I just, listen, man, America's been good to me. I got a great life. It's easy for me to step back and say, what do I care? You know? But the truth is, unless people like me, unless people like AJ, unless people like you stand up and say, you know what? Bleep this crap. We got to change it, man.
Yeah, you're right. And a guy like me.
It is on us to do it.
Right. A guy like me that grew up in the inner city, that some people would say should be dead by 21. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I made it out, have a successful career. But now, just driving home down Westheimer, you know what I mean? I have to worry about if I'm getting pulled over and something happens.
Ray, I said this before.
It's just not fair.
At the start of the show, I'm not anti-cop, and you can be pro Black Lives Matter
and still pro cop
and not be anti-police.
No, you can be pro cop too. Because,
you can be pro police and not hate black people. Believe it or not,
yeah.
This is
yes.
You can be both. You can be pro cop. You can be pro black. That's the way the world is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You don't just because you guys can't put everybody in a box.
Right.
You can't say
this is why I if you're pro police
that you
night.
Hate black people, yeah. And you can't say if you're pro Black Lives Matter that you hate cops.
Right.
That's not true. Right. That's not true, and that's not fair.
And listen, man, I love law enforcement. I will always support law enforcement, but I'm also listen, man. I respect everything about Black Lives Matter, and I respect what they're doing, and I support them as well. How about Chad? Let's do Chad.
What's up, Chad?
Hey, man. How's it going, guys?
We're doing all right, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to say that the only thing that kind of bothers me is look, I have a half-black daughter and a full-white son. And the Black Lives Matter, I mean, trust me, I'm not trying to down anything, but if you go and look at Washington Post has a count, basically, they count national killings from police. And last year and this year, there's been more white men killed than black men per police.
All right, but wait, Chad, let me interrupt you. Not,
yes, sir.
Not per capita, yes, sir. Not by percentage. That's numbers-wise, yes. But percentage of blacks versus percentage of whites is way out of whack.
Well, I'm just saying, as of last year, 171 people were killed by police that were white men. Last year, there was 100 killed black men.
Right. And so, again, percentage of white people versus percentage of black people, that's out of whack. You understand that, right?
And it's how they were murdered also.
Right.
I'm not saying there's not racism or not. But the thing is, the media does glorify, and excuse my words here, but I don't want to say glorify, but they do. Every time a black man is killed, it is put on the news, and it's wrong, and it's not right. I'm not saying it's one way or the other, but at the same time, this country needs to realize it's not about Black Lives Matter. It's not about White Lives Matter. We're all human, and we all have the same equal rights, and one way or the other, you know, we all matter. Nothing else.
Right. This is what I said at the beginning of the show.
We all agree with that.
A black life.
We all agree with that.
A civilian life, by the way, means just as much as a cop life in my book. Mm-hmm. That Washington Post thing is one thing. I was reading about the Baton Rouge murder, and 100% of people shot by cops in Baton Rouge in the last 3 years have been black. 100%.
And listen, man, I totally get what you're saying. And You're right, but the problem is people are taking that Washington Post thing and saying, oh, well, it's not racist because white people are getting shot too. Please look at the percentages based on population.
Right.
It's disproportionate. There's a disproportionate number, and please feel free to call and dispute me on this. There's a disproportionate number of black and Hispanic people in American prisons than there are whites.
Oh, of course.
And it's not even close based on, and we're not talking about, I'm not talking about just, you know, numbers. I'm talking about percentage of population.
But, bro, you tell me now, some of these black guys, that guy in Baton Rouge, he'd love to be in jail right now.
Oh, God, yeah. He'd take that in a heartbeat.
Tell me about it. Tell me.
And honestly, looking in hindsight, those cops probably wish he was in jail, too, because now their lives are changed, too.
All right. I'm going to respond to one texter real quick who says, boo-hoo, stop bitching. Go to Canada if you're so ashamed of America.
Fred, let's get off of that.
No, I'm going to do this because, you know what, bleep you, because I am ashamed of America, but you know what? Unlike you, I'm willing to change it. So go bleep yourself. And yeah, I'm going to Canada for 2 weeks, and then I'm coming back, and then we're going to fix this. Unlike you, who's a racist piece of garbage, who can go bleep yourself, and go slit your own bleeping throat, okay? 832-492. I'm not going to give the rest of your number out. Go kill yourself. Everyone hates you.
Robert.
Sorry.
What's up, Robert?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports
except for right now. On the really, at, like AJ and Army, I was taught to react. And I'm pretty sure the police go through the same training as well. But I think that the problem is that I also, from being in the Army, I was also in prison. And I interacted with all kinds of, you know, criminals. They were all criminals. They're all.
I'm sorry, I can't understand a word, brother. It sounds like it was going to be a phone call, but that...
We couldn't hear you.
Let's do Doc real quick.
How's it going, fellas, man? Man, I know it's a somber day, and, you know, usually I call you all. I'm a basketball coach, and I call you all, and we talking basketball, we talking sports, football... We talking everything, but today is one of them days where when I talk to my kids and I let them know, you know, as being a man, because my thing is I coach kids, whether you white, black, I don't care what color you are. I want you to be decent men as you grow up, and I want you to be able to come back on the experience of being around me and having to say, hey, that man taught me something. And I'm an ex-Marine also. I'm an ex-Marine. And the thing is, I used to tell my guys, because I was still in the service when the Iraqi war came in. And I used to always tell them, you know, I would always be scared of someone walking up on me. Or I'm talking about a child. If a child would walk up on me, would I go head on and do away with that child? Or would I take the chance on with my life to see if that child was carrying a bomb, this and that, you know, things like that. We would always have those conversations. But what happened yesterday, and I, man, Fred and AJ, man, you all don't know what you all do when you talk about things like this. You all are good for the radio when you do things like this. And the thing is, what happened yesterday with these guys that did what they did, they didn't make a historic moment for the movement. They set the movement back, because what has happened is, and this is the society that we have allowed these kids to grow up in, and we can fix this because there are laws on the books. If anybody would go in and read your constitution, these laws on the books is to protect not the rich, but it's actually to protect the poor. And we have laws on the books. We can vote people out. We can do things that, you know, we don't even try to use, and the things that happen. And it upsets me that we have allowed this society, this television society, to raise our children instead of raising our children the right way. Now, I'm going to say this, and, you know, because I know y'all got other guys you got to get to. My great-grandmother, man, I had the two best grandmothers in the world. And I remember... this when I was, I think I was about 8 or 9, and I said something that was stupid. It was very stupid. And when I say I had the best grandmothers in the world, they raised, my two grandmothers raised a generation from my uncles, my mom, me, and then even had a hand in raising, you know, my children before they passed away. When I said that stupid thing, not only did she put taste out of my mouth, she educated me on why I need to be the way I am today. And that's the problem. We are not raising our kids anymore. We're letting television raise our kids. Man, Fred and AJ, y'all keep doing what you do. Man, I'm going to keep calling in and talking to you. We're going to keep talking sports. We're going to keep talking about the children of today. But, man, you keep doing what you do, man. You keep going out there watching your kids play baseball, and you keep being involved in your kids playing baseball, because if white America and black America do not come together, we are going to be lost. And real quick, the atrocities that are going on in Qatar are far worse than the atrocities that are going on here in America. That is a slave society right now.
Let me jump in. You know what? We need to stop focusing on what's going on in Qatar and the Middle East and start focusing on what's going on here. Those atrocities are bad, but do you remember what happened in Orlando a couple weeks ago? Did you see what happened yesterday? Did you see what happened the day before? We can talk about atrocities in other countries. I'm done with that, man. We need to focus on what's wrong in America, dude. We're not focusing on it. And, Doc, I love you. I appreciate the call. But the truth is, let's stop pointing fingers at other people and other countries about what they're doing wrong. Let's stop talking about what Putin's doing wrong in Russia or what's going on in North Korea. Because what we're doing here is worse, man. We need to focus on this, and we need to realize this as Americans, or else we're just another freaking dictator state. I'm sorry. And if that's wrong of me, I apologize. Let's give something away. Don't miss the pulse-pounding thriller, The Wave, a tsunami disaster film inspired by true events. The critics are calling it a white-knuckle experience and the best disaster movie in ages. Own it now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD from Magnolia Home Entertainment. Caller 20. All yours. By the way, got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. You want to talk about the good thing about America? Texas Mattress Makers is the great thing about America, because all American true manufacturing on everything they do. They build mattresses piece by piece with American-made steel, Louisiana wood, Houston labor, no shortcuts. These things are so good at Texas Mattress Makers. Beyond the quality, you're getting the lowest price guaranteed always. They're extending their showroom specials. How about this? We were talking about that 4th of July sale where they were taking care of you guys, 20% off the already low factory prices. They're going to extend that through the end of July. Think about this. Queen mattress set, regularly $2,900. How about $2,320? You're going to save more than $500. That's factory prices. If you go to a retail store, I can't even tell you what that is. You're already saving 50% off what you spend at retail. So now throw another $500 on top of that. And Yuval and the gang over there, they love the Blitzers. They understand what you need. They're going to ask you how you sleep, not what you want to spend. That's what they do. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. Guaranteed. Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Tell them I sent you, or go to TexasMattressMakers.com.
There they go, packing stadiums as shady spitzes blow.
Set your clock and grab your jocks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we're back on The Blitz. Can I just say thank you, everybody, for participating in the show today the way we did it. And I want to thank Michael Pearson for showing up. But more importantly,
thank you for having me.
Everybody has been really cool. I mean, well, there's been some a-holes.
Most people have been cool.
Yeah, there have been some a-holes, especially on the text line, which no one's going to pay attention to when I'm gone for 2 weeks. And the truth is, and I'm just going to say this, and then we can move on. You know, I love this country. I do. I love this country for everybody, though, not just me. If I were just about what I've accomplished in this country, I wouldn't give a rat's ass. And yes, I could walk away right now. My in-laws would offer me a job for twice what I'm making to go to Saskatchewan. They already have every year we go up there. It's just we want our daughter back. Boom, come back here. I could do that any year. It's not going to happen because I'm an American. I love this country, but I hate what we are right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make me a bad American. It makes me somebody that wants to change this stuff. And guys, listen, man, this, all of this, and I'm sorry to get emotional about this, but GD, we've got to fix this, okay? And we can, but we have to talk about it. Us. All right, we have to start with us as people, and then we've got to rise it up so that the people who are getting paid a bunch of money to get elected will finally listen to us. And if they don't, then yes, we need desperate measures, and I'm not against that. And that's all I got to say, and I love you guys. I'm going to miss you for 2 weeks, but, you know, this is a good country. It's not a great country anymore. We can make it great. We can, but we got to come together and we got to realize that we all have the same crap in common. We have this commonality. We all have something in common. And when we realize that and start with that, we're going to be better people.
Well,
I'm dropping the mic. I'm out. That's it. That's all I got.
I appreciate everyone giving us the platform today. I know it's a different show, but man, I know it sounds cheesy, but with black, white, brown, orange, cop,
purple.
Just love each other, man. Love people. And remember, everybody's a person. Everybody's trying to go home and deal with the struggles that they're dealing with. At the end of the day, nobody... cops, I don't... I hope cops don't want to shoot people. I hope black people don't want to shoot cops. I don't want to shoot anybody. I just hope that everybody remembers that everybody walking around today has stuff they're dealing with and is just a person just like you.
Listen, so, man, we all have the same things that we want. That's what we need to start with. It's like, listen, Michael may be black. I may be half Arab. AJ's as white as they come. Guess what? We all like to have fun together, and we care about our families. Let's start with that. Anyway, all right, guys, y'all have a great next 2 weeks. It'll be great shows with AJ. I may or may not be back. If I come back, until then, stay sportsy, bitches. Money's valid based on your efforts.